Well, hello and welcome to the Message Recap Podcast. My name is Pierce. I'm, as always, joined here by our Sunday teacher, which was our pastor, Gary. But I actually roped in one of my good friends, special guest, but you know him, so he's really not a guest, but David Barrett, our group's pastor. Hello, David.
Good friend and special guest, or good friend or special guest?
We'll let the listener decide that.
That's fair.
We get to do a lot of fun things working here at the church. One of them is that a couple times a year, we get to build some community through just enjoying the people we work with, and we're at Topgolf. Gary, how's your Topgolf game looking?
I would say it looked pretty poor, but it was fun. I had a good time.
It was fun. David?
People that can't golf just focus on the fellowship. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was very focused on fellowship then. David, you got a good little swing.
Yeah, he does.
I haven't played since my oldest was born, but
it's funny how that works.
It was fun getting that back out there. It was a good time.
Did you play like in high school, college, or
high school and college?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Nothing special, but got out there a little bit.
Yeah.
Good. Good. Well, we wrapped up on Sunday our Jesus in the Old Testament series, which is crazy because it seems like we spent a while there, but there's a lot to cover in the Old Testament.
Yes.
And so, since you're both here, I want to start off with not a question particularly about your message on Sunday, mm-hmm. Gary, but more just a question about the entire series. You both taught in it. How did the Lord shape your understanding of Scripture through this series?
Yeah, so I did Moses, where is Jesus and Moses, and I think what it did for me is the Old Testament gives you another lens by which to see what God is doing, and I think what that does is it allows you to see where you are in the story. When you see that Genesis to Revelation is an ongoing story of how God created the world, sin entered the world, Jesus came back to redeem the world, and ultimately how Jesus is coming back to restore the world, you see that this is a continuing and ongoing story that I have a place in, that you have a place in, and that this isn't random, this isn't static. It's that God has a plan, and he's been working his plan for ages and ages. And when we look in the Old Testament and see how that grand narrative plays out, we see that we are indeed a part of that plan.
And even on top of that, I mean, think about it. There's nothing that's random in Scripture. And mm-hmm. so guess what? In your life, all those pieces that seem so random, my daughter, who just had a baby, mm-hmm. The day before she had a baby, fell and broke her foot and didn't know it until a week later and just had surgery on her foot. And she would assume that's very, very random, but it's a reminder that actually all the random things are not all that random. God is at work in the midst of all of it, using all of it to work together for good. So yeah, I love that.
Amen.
That's a pretty good segue into the life of Joshua, which is where you were on Sunday, and particularly because in many ways at first read, which is where you kind of started, you read in the story of Joshua about this lady named Rahab.
Yeah.
Who, again, if you're reading Joshua for the first time, or you're reading the Bible cover to cover, you read about this Rahab and you think, okay, it's just a lady, she was a prostitute, cool story about how she was rescued. And yet, in the New Testament, this lady ain't so random, right? We see her in the lineage of Jesus. And so, what I want to ask you is you had this line that really stuck out to me. And you said that, let me find it. Yep, there it is. It's really easy to compromise on following Jesus, but it's not easy to follow Jesus without compromise. And essentially, I think mm-hmm. what you meant by that is it's easy to follow Jesus in the ways that are convenient to us, but to go all in, right?
Yeah.
Which is what we're called to, that's a lot harder to do. And so we end up just sort of mm-hmm. Thomas Jefferson in it. Mm-hmm. We cut out the little pieces here and there that mm-hmm. maybe are not so easy for us or that will cost us a little bit more. And we ultimately follow a really convenient mm-hmm. Jesus, right? And yet that's not what we're called to. But so many of us settle for that. Why is that?
Oh, gosh. Because it's easier.
Yeah.
You know, we're creatures of habit, and we're creatures that just like what's easy. And the easiest thing that we can do is to just do the easy thing. But the easy thing is very seldom the thing that God's calling us to. And I honestly think, too, though, we tend to think that, oh, gosh, Joshua is so easy for him because God said, okay, you go and you march around Jericho and da-da-da, you know. And so it was easy for him to follow God without compromise because it was so clear. But if you step into their sandals or whatever they were wearing, right? I mean, seriously, if you think of 600,000 fighting men all marching around a wall, I mean, that'd be so easy to compromise on. I'd try to kind of bring that out in the sermon that I'd be going, well, okay, maybe 1,000 will do. You know, it's representative and it's close to what God said. And hey, these guys are just not going to follow me. I'm new to leadership and they're not going to follow me if I say all 600,000 of you get, you know, dressed for war and go march around a wall and do it 6 days in a row. And so, you know, in our life, God's pretty clear on what he's called us to do. And then we're pretty good at just saying, well, I don't really have to march around the wall 6 days in a row. I don't really have to read my Bible every day. I don't really have to confess my sins. God knows my heart. You know, I mean, it's just so easy, and it's easy for us to do the easy thing.
Go ahead. Well, and to see how that viscerally plays out, it's look at the next battle.
That's what I was about to ask you about.
After AI. They're riding high, after 100%. We took Jericho down. Yep. Well, we'll just take on this little garrison at AI, and they get their tails kicked.
Yep.
Sure do.
I think the story of Jericho is so fascinating in the context of AI. And I know you didn't have time to go there, but I would love to almost have a sermon where you taught those back-to-back because it is the ultimate tale of two cities. And I've never thought about it in this lens until you brought it up.
No pun intended. But that's very good. Yeah, that's nice.
But I'd never thought about it, but yeah. Following without compromise. That's the story of Jericho. Mm-hmm. And yet immediately, in the wake of victory, is when they start to compromise.
The easy thing is self-reliance.
Exactly.
The hard thing is dependence. I mean, take Rahab. The easy thing is just to report them. The hard thing is to have faith that God is who he says he is. Mm-hmm. The easy thing is how Joshua, you know, is going to maybe take 1,000 as opposed to 600,000. But we're hardwired for self-reliance. We're not hardwired for dependence, and dependence is hard. It's a choice that we have to make to bow our knees to God every single day.
Yeah, yeah.
True.
So speaking of Jericho and marching, I've always thought that it was funny that they had to march, and that they had to march for 7 days, right? I mean, again, God has the power to bring those walls down immediately. He has the power to bring down any wall that we're faced with in an instance. And yet, as you brought out, he often calls, I would even say invites us to march.
100%.
Why do you think that is? Why is God so insistent on inviting us to march?
Yeah. Yeah, you know what's popping into my head is going to sound totally random, and hopefully I can connect it perfectly to the question. But Kim and I were talking this morning. Our daughter just had a baby. The baby's waking up every hour and a half to 2 hours on the clock all night long, right? And we were both talking, you know, this morning. It's so funny. Like, why do you think God designed it that way? Because he could have created babies any way he wanted to, and he could have created them where they just all sleep, you know, and you have to wake them up after 8 hours, and, oh, well, you got to wake up and feed and eat and da-da-da. And I, you know, I sat there, and I mean, we're literally thinking about it, and I thought, you know, I think it's creating a sense of dependence because that's not manageable. That's not long-term manageable, spending the rest of your life waking up every hour and a half. And so it's creating a sense of dependence on God. I'm going to need God in order to get through this. But then I also think it breaks down selfishness because I don't know about you guys, but Kim and I grew so much when we got married. And we thought we had just really developed in Jesus, you know, And then we had a kid and realized, oh my goodness, we still were so selfish and focused on our, and then just kids, plural, just rob you of your selfishness. Now, having said that, marching, I think, does both of those things. It creates dependence on God. Yeah. We recognize for this wall to come down, for me to survive having an infant, I'm going to have to depend upon God. And I'm also going to have to just grow out of a whole lot of selfishness. Yeah. It's not going to be about me and what I want. It's going to have to become about God and what he wants. Yeah. Kind of a long answer.
And I think, and David, feel free to jump in. I think one of the perspective shifts that helps is if we realize that us becoming dependent on God is more important than our walls coming down.
Yeah.
And as much as some of our walls are painful, fear, anxiety, addiction, and God desires to obliterate those walls in the way that he did the walls of Jericho, I think it's safe to say, though, he desires our dependence and our reliance on him even more than bringing down our walls.
Yeah, I think so. I think that every single, at least in my life, every single major faith step has some risk to it.
Yeah.
Whether that is confessing something, whether that is being vulnerable, whether that is going on a mission trip to a place where weren't entirely sure that it was going to be okay. I mean, every single
getting thing, married, making a move in the ministry. I'm going to move positions, right?
All of it. Everything. I mean, everything has a step to it, and I think that you see this pattern all throughout Scripture. I mean, when they're crossing the Jordan beforehand, the water's still there when they're told to take their step.
Yeah.
And so they take the step and then the water goes.
Yeah.
They have to take the step first. And then you take the pattern all the way to James. We're talking about the whole of Scripture here. Mm-hmm. Show me your faith without works.
Yeah.
Faith without works is dead. Yeah. There is a sense to where God is calling you to march, calling you to take the first step and trust that he's going to be there with you in your most vulnerable, in your most prone.
Yeah.
So one final question. This series is, as we mentioned, we wrapped it up last week. We're starting a new series on Sunday about relationships. So it's going to, again, be purely rooted in Scripture, but will feel like a little bit of a turn. However, how do we continue to have a Christocentric hermeneutics, right? Well, what does that practice look like in our daily time with the Lord? How do we continue to be sharpened in understanding the continuity of both the Old and New Testament, frankly, when we can't rely on a sermon series every week?
Yeah. Let me answer it this way, and then I'll let David, I want David to weigh in. But here's the way, I think what you're asking, and here's certainly what I
That's
would
the second
say.
Time you've said that, so I've got bad questions.
No. I think I'm just wanting to answer the questions that I want to answer and not necessarily the ones you're asking.
Fair.
But you know, you kind of started off asking David, okay, what is it that you guys have learned preaching through this series? And, for me, one of the most profound verses in God's Word that I ever read that shaped my theology is when Jesus says, you say you believe in Moses. No, you don't, because Moses wrote about me. And if you believe Moses, you'd believe in me, right? And so just the idea that Moses wrote about me, and so, but that's not just Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's all of, the prophets. And so it's all of the Old Testament. It's all of the New Testament. And so I think in answering your question, the way I'd say it is, you really do have to start with any text and you have to ask yourself, okay, what is this text? Because it's an arrow pointing straight to Jesus. Yeah. Think about, Spurgeon.
Yep.
I take a text and I make a beeline to Jesus. So just take a text, Old Testament, New Testament, Genesis to Revelation, and just what does this teach me about Jesus? What does this teach me about me?
I love that.
What is it? What is Jesus calling me to do in this text? In other words, all right, this is about Jesus, and this is about me in relationship to Jesus. What's it teach me about Jesus? What's it teach me about me? Is God calling me to do something? Is he calling me to confess something? Is he calling me to follow the example of Jesus, walk in the footsteps of Jesus? But it's telling you something about Jesus, and it's telling you something about yourself.
I love that. Two questions, any passage, any text. What does this teach me about Jesus, and what does this teach me about myself? I think that's so helpful. David?
That's just a great meditative technique. I love that. It's as simple as taking Jesus at his word. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hmm. You guys are going to preach on singleness, marriage, parenting, all the relationship issues. And you're going to give some ways of how, you know, the Bible says that you can be successful, you can be fruitful in those sort of things. But what I love about y'all's preaching and the way that you approach the text and the way that you preach is that, yeah, you're going to give ways, but you're ultimately going to come back to the way.
Yeah.
And the way is a person. It's not a list of do's and don'ts.
Yeah.
The way is a person. And to the extent that you have an intimate relationship mm-hmm. with Jesus is in your vertical relationship, mm-hmm. you're going to have more success and more fruitfulness in your horizontal relationships.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, I appreciate your time. David, thanks good for stuff. Stopping in.
Yes. Gary,
as
thank
always.
You. And thank you, guys.
We'll be back here next week for the Message Recap podcast. See you then.